Jim, you don't sound like nothing wrong with you, son. You sound good today. I believe he wants us to pet him. Matthew chapter 5. I want to read a verse, first of all, this morning from the book of Ephesians for our text. But we're going to be preaching from Matthew chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Spiritual blessings. Remember that. Loving God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this Lord's Day and those able to assemble today to hear your Word, because I only have your Word today, Lord. Your Word that can change our lives, bless our lives. Your Word that's the living Word that can help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Savior, that can feed our souls if we will allow it. Thank you for the Word of God and this hour and this freedom we have in our country to assemble together today. I pray that across this country, many would recognize their need to hear the Word of God, to receive the Word of God, and to live by the Word of God, because it will transform their lives and prepare them to live forever in heaven and one day on this earth, in an earth that's made new, where there won't be any more crying. There won't be any more sicknesses and afflictions. There won't be any more troubles and trials and discouragement. Praise God, there won't be any more death either. No more separation. Thank you for the hope we have that's only in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you for letting me stand today, Lord. I thank you for this blessing time. Amen and amen. The source of our blessings. Let's talk about that a little while together today. The source. Where your blessings come from, church? Think about it. That's why I'm glad we have this day in our calendar each year. Thanksgiving. It was set up because of men who recognize our blessings come from God. Amen. All your blessings come from God. And Thanksgiving is a time to remember that. But we ought not to forget it after Thanksgiving is over. It should be a daily reminder to us who are Christian people that God is the source of all of our blessings, both spiritual and physical. All of our blessings of life come from God. Just think about it. It means all. Oh yeah, we work hard on our jobs, careers, whatever. But it's God that gives you the strength to work. It's God that gave you the ability to work. It's God that gave you a place to work. It's God that made your work fruitful. Folks, we're just helpless without God. We're completely helpless. in our hymn book. Thank you, Junior, you led us in it today already. There's one of my favorite songs, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. Boy, isn't that a great song? Boy, we ought to sing that every service. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Where did they come from? God sent them. Our material blessings are not as important, though, as our spiritual blessings. Our spiritual blessings are more important. The Proverbs, in Proverbs 10:6, the wisdom writer wrote, blessings are upon the head of the just. God's blessings are on you if you're saved. Think about that. He also said in Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. A faithful person will have many blessings. And again, it's not just physical. We want to think about blessings as things tangible, things that I can do something with. No, they're fine, but there's blessings greater than those. The psalmist cried out in Psalms 103, verse 2, and I quote this every day when I lay down to go to sleep. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Do you ever cry, bless the Lord, O my soul? Your soul bless the Lord? Can your soul bless the Lord? God wants you to bless him. You want him to bless you. Amen? God wants you to bless him. How can you bless God? Praise him. Love him. Serve him. Obey him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And Raymond, don't you ever forget all his benefits. All his benefits to you. And don't you ever, dear brothers and sisters, forget all the blessings God has given to you. You have the privilege to come to church today, and there's places people don't have that blessing. If you were in North Korea today, you wouldn't be allowed such a place. China, many other countries. Don't you ever forget to bless the Lord with your soul. Because he wants you to bless him. He wants to bless you, but he wants you to bless him. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. Mark that in your Bible. And forget not all his benefits. I've attempted on several occasions trying to count my blessings. You ever lay down in the bed and start counting out blessings the Lord's given to you? You could go on forever. There's no stopping place the way God has blessed us. Hey. First of all, we got our life from God. Did you know you used to didn't be? Amen? I remember when a lot of you weren't. But you know what? God wanted you. God caused you to come into existence. Yeah. We got our life from God. He's the one who provides our food, our clothes, our shelter. He gives us our families, our friends, our jobs, our careers, our health. God's the source of all of our blessings. Amen? Do you ever stop and realize how helpless we are? Think about how helpless we are. I was looking at Facebook yesterday. A deer had tried to jump over a fence, and its left leg got hung in the fence, and there it was, half hanging, couldn't get loose. It was struggling to get loose out of that fence. It couldn't get loose. But someone saw it, some man. He went over there, and I don't know how long it took that guy before he ever got that little deer. He weren't too little. He was a good-sized deer. But he kept working. He finally got that little fella loose. And boy, he just went taking off free. But he'd have died there if somebody hadn't helped him. He couldn't get loose. Yes, God provides for us, makes a way for us. All the experiences of life are gifts from God. It's a gift from God. All the material blessings of God are great. But what about our spiritual blessings? Do you ever think about your spiritual blessings? How would you feel today if you didn't have that? Would you miss it? Or could you get along just fine without it? You won't have a better blessing other than Jesus than that. That there is not just a book. That's the Word. That's God's Word. Boy, there's more light here than there's all these lights in this building today. This is the light of the world. This is the way to see to go to heaven. And there's no other book that'll do that. What a spiritual blessing that God has given us a book like this. Think about the generations of people. There was never a printed copy of this. They got it by hearsay. Oh, I've got so many copies, different versions of this book back there in my library. I got a number of different versions. On my computer, I got a whole bunch of different versions, translations. But I use the old King James. Spiritual blessings. How blessed we are to have knowledge of the Word of God. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes when I was asking the Lord to guide me today and what to talk about. He brought to mind the Beatitudes that Jesus gave us. They show us how we receive spiritual blessings from the Lord, these Beatitudes. And I want to talk with you about them a while. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed. Blessed. The word blessed means happy. Happy is a person that receives and lives by these Beatitudes. You're going to be a happy person. You're going to be a fulfilled person. You're going to be a complete person. You're going to be a better person if you listen to the Beatitudes and let them bless your life. Yes, he opened his mouth and he began to teach them. See, they didn't have a Bible. He just taught it to them. And the first one was, blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed is the poor. We don't like that word poor, do we? But Jesus said, blessed is the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To be poor in spirit is to have a humble opinion of ourselves. Do you have a humble opinion of yourself? Really? We live in a world of a lot of pride today. That I'm the most important person around. But to be humble in spirit, to be poor in spirit, you got to be humble. To be aware we're a sinner. You ever think about you're a sinner? Did you know everyone in this room is a sinner? Did you know we don't even have any righteousness of our own? The Bible says, my righteousness is like filthy rags. I don't have a thing to give God to make him accept me. Think about that. None of us of the human family have anything to give to God to cause him to accept us. He told that to the Pharisees of his day, the religious leaders. We're only saved by the grace of God, church. We're only saved by the grace of God. He didn't have to save us. And yet, too many people today live like they're King Kong. And we have nothing to offer God. Till you get saved. You know, most people don't believe that. They think when they die and they go wherever they go, they think they're going to be able to reason with God. You're not. No. Let me talk about we're saved by grace and mercy. He didn't have to save us. If we're poor in spirit, are we willing to serve God where he places us? Are we willing to accept where God places us in life? Or are we resisting, complaining? Are we willing to accept what he puts on us? You know, church, God knows what he's doing. He deals with every one of us different, and yet at the same time alike. My situation is not like your situation. Yours is not like mine. I got leukemia. None of y'all don't have leukemia. I don't have to look after an invalid. Some people do. God lays on us what he wants for a reason. We have to accept it. Knowing he's wise. We got to trust him. We got to be poor in spirit. Trust the Lord. Because he won't make mistakes and don't make mistakes. We got to be willing to be in his hands. To be poor in spirit. We're in his hands. If we are saved. And he's got a plan for you. He's got a will for you. It won't be like his will for me. It'll be his will for you. to be poor in spirit, accept His will. Oh, we can pray, Lord, I wish I had a better job, or Lord, I need this. There's nothing wrong with that, but we got to accept where He puts us now and live so He can move us where He can bless us the way He wants to bless us. To be poor in spirit is the opposite of pride and vanity. Because God hates pride, church. Y'all know that. It's top of the list. Pride. God wants humble people. It was pride that cast Lucifer out of heaven. Think about that. Pride. Because the most beautiful, the most powerful, the most blessed of all the angelic creatures was cast out of heaven because of pride. You know what he's so proud about? He was pretty. The Bible says he was beautiful, that he got lifted up in his heart because he was such a pretty thing. He probably still is. He probably still is the most beautiful angel, but he's still the most wicked. Amen. Verse number 4 says, Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn. I heard someone mourning this morning. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. What's he talking about? You ever mourn over your sin? You ever have sin that in the past that you think about it, you mourn because you would commit such a sin? Does your sin disturb you? Jesus said those that mourn is going to be comforted. We're comforted because of grace, forgiveness, cleansing. Are we sorry that our sins offended God? Did you know when we sinned, we offended God, who hates sin? He hates sin. If we have that attitude, the Bible says we'll find comfort in His forgiveness, cleansing, love. Isn't it wonderful, church? There's a God that can wipe the slate clean. But how we can often wish, why was I so stupid at one time? Blessed are those that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, Jesus said. They shall inherit the earth. Think about that. The meek are going to inherit the earth, not this crummy, sinful world we live in today. We're going to inherit the new earth. When it's created fresh from the hand of God. Christ is the model of meekness. You read through the scriptures in the life of Christ, look what a meek man he was. A man of patience. And he accepted injuries. The meek are those that are quiet and gentle in their spirit. They're the opposite to prideful people. A meek person is quiet, gentle. They're not filled with sudden anger and malice and vengeance. You don't see that in Christ. And we, as believers, he said, are to be meek, gentle, quiet. And one day we'll inherit the new earth. Where we won't face these trials and hardships we face today. Verse 6 says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You've been thirsty in this world for water or something to drink? You ever been hungry? I've told you before, the thirstiest I've ever been in my life. I've been thirsty. But the thirstiest I ever was when I woke up from bypass surgery. I thought I'd perish to death for water. They wouldn't let me have none. But a kind nurse put some ice on a little spoon and placed it in my mouth. Lord, have mercy, that was so good. I didn't know anything could be so good when you're that thirsty. Jesus is using that to say we should hunger and thirst after righteousness. We should hunger and thirst to be closer to God. We should hunger and thirst to know Him better, to be faithful to Him, to honor Him, to love Him, to serve Him. That should be the motivation of every one of us, to love the Lord and let Him have His way in our life. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. And Jesus said, you'll be filled. It's the opposite. Of ignoring Him, isn't it? Do you long to be right with God? Please God? Be pleasing to God in what you're doing? Having a strong desire to please Him? A desire to be holy? The Bible says in Peter's writing, be ye holy, for God is holy, and we are God's children. We're to be holy people. H-O-L-Y, holy. And God will satisfy. We'll be filled. We'll be filled. Satisfied. When we have submitted ourselves fully to the Lord in obedience and love. Remember the first church over in the book of Revelation chapter 2? The church at Ephesus. Jesus was examining them and He said about them, you left your first love. We better be careful, you'll drift away from the Lord. Sin will cause you to drift from the Lord and bring chastisement from His hand. But if you seek and thirst and hunger after righteousness, you'll be filled. You'll be content. You'll be satisfied. And then He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We just did a little bit of mercy a while ago. We decided as a church body, we want to show our love for two men that having it a little bit rough in their life. share a little gift from the church. Be merciful. God's people are to be merciful people. You like mercy? You want somebody to be merciful to you, don't you?
Amen.
Amen? Somebody did. Oh, you know what? I have to confess every day of my life, I plead with the Lord for mercy. Mercy for my wife. She has problems y'all don't know about. Mercy for some of you that's got problems. I beg God for mercy for y'all. God said in His Word, blessed are the merciful. Be merciful to people. People need mercy. You need mercy. We're more like God when we are showing mercy. Do you know that? You're more like God when you're willing to show mercy. God delights to show mercy to us. He delights to do that. Some people say, well, I don't want to pray, disturb God. He's too busy. No. God hears every prayer. I tell you what, I'm still puzzled with all these cell phones everybody's got. And everybody's talking. How do they keep not getting mixed up out there somewhere in all that cloud? You know, I don't understand that. Well, you know what? If a man can make cell phones that work in all these laws God made with all these waves out there, think about God that made all them waves. Give man the ability to make an old cell phone. And God can hear every one of us praying at the same time. Amen? And he understands every one of them. What a God! And He's merciful. He wants to be merciful. He's even asked us that, and told us we can pray for mercy. Isn't that awesome? When you pray, don't forget, ask God for mercy. Ask God for mercy for somebody else. Remember somebody else. God showed mercy to us by sending His Son to die for us. Boy, that was a merciful act, wasn't it? What if God hadn't sent His Son? We'd have been hell-bound. Most folks are going to hell anyway. Right now, most of them are happy going that way. Do y'all know that? But God has shown us mercy by sending His Son to die. Take my place. Pay for my sin. And yours. And yours. And yours. God is great in mercy, the Bible says. The Bible says He's plenteous in mercy. He just got plenty of mercy. Ask Him for mercy. And the Bible says He delights to show mercy. So if you need some mercy, just say, Lord, You said, hey, listen, this old preacher, I say, God, You said You give mercy. I'm asking for mercy. You can ask God. Lord, that's what You said. Hold Him to His word. But do it with the right attitude. Praise God, there's a God of mercy sitting on the throne, folks, that cares. That cares for me. Cares for you. Cares for you, brother. Cares for you. Blessed are the pure in heart. Ooh. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said. Johnny was on our lesson a while ago talking about Moses. But Moses was not alive to see God. But listen to what I'm fixing to read to you from the Word of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. Can you all imagine when we finally see God? Boy, that's going to be awesome, isn't it? Hey, when we can look beyond the veil and see the one who created all things. Wow. And we're going to live with him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Those who seek not only to have the outward actions correct, but who desire to be holy in their heart. You want to be holy in your heart? Do you think about having a heart that's clean? Cleansed from sin? You got sin in your heart? If you got sin in your heart, the Bible says God's not going to hear your prayer. You can pray your eyes out. It ain't going to do no good. Got to cleanse your heart by confessing sin, repenting of sin, turning from sin. The pure in heart shall see God. The pure in heart can get a prayer through to God. We shall see God and be his friend. Think about one day. I'm going to be a friend to God. You know, I'm not a friend of Donald Trump. He don't know me from Adam's apple, amen? But I can be a friend of God. Amen. Think about that. The Pharisees, they were white on the outside in their robes, strutting about, thinking they were above everybody else. But Jesus said they were corrupt. They were like rotten men on the inside. You got to be holy. Pure in heart to please God, to be really blessed of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. People that work to prevent contention and strife and war are peacemakers. We all can be a peacemaker. Try to have peace in our family. Peace in our community. Work for peace. Pray for peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called the children of God. Boy, I tell you what. Is there a higher position than being a child of God? Is there a more blessed position than being a child of God? Peacemakers are children of God. We're not to be rioters like the worldly. You see all these rioters out there rioting, demanding their rights. God's people are not to be rioters, the Bible says. We're to live peaceably. We're to be peacemakers. And be called the children of God. Number 10, verse 10 says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness. I had some sad news for you today. On the horizon, if the election don't go like we want it, you may see some persecution ramp up pretty good now. Yeah, persecution. They don't like God. They don't like Jesus. They don't like this book. They don't like church. They've even talked about when they had their get-together convention taking God out. They don't want God in. They hate us. If they get in power, we're going to be persecuted. Some of us will probably be put in prison. Padlocked church doors. You say, preacher, you're talking foot. No, I'm talking realistically. If the wrong crowd gets in power, we better be praying. Right now, there's a possibility we can keep the one we got as president. There's a slight possibility. Slight by meaning God can put him in. Because it'll only be God. It won't be man putting him in. It'll be God. Better be praying. It could be God's will. We could keep somebody that believes in the country and works for the country like I've never seen a president do in my life. We've had some pretty good ones, but never one like this one. But he is hated like no man has ever been hated. Well, that's not a correct statement, but it's almost. But he's hated because he's not a politician. He's a patriot. He's for the country. Better be praying, church. I mean praying. Blessed are they which are persecuted. If you're persecuted, you're going to be blessed, though. That's what Jesus said. I got to believe him. Amen. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We might be persecuted here, but we're going to heaven. Amen. You know what? Those that persecute us won't be there to persecute anymore, Brother Johnny. Hey, we're on the winning side. Amen?
Amen.
God's people have always been persecuted. All the way back to Abel, who was killed because he offered up an acceptable righteousness to God, sacrifice to God. They said that Jesus was a Samaritan. They said he had a devil. They said he all manner of evil against. Well, I miss where I was at there. Because of righteousness and the God of life, it sometimes bring us the hatred and infamy of the people of the world. By living righteously, it reproves and condemns their wicked lives and practices. And it fills them with wrath against us and puts them to persecuting believers. We are hated today by many because we are believers in Jesus and the Bible, the Word of God. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. It's got to be falsely when they say it. For my sake, Jesus said. They said Jesus was a Samaritan, that he had a devil, and that he was mad. And they reviled him and mocked him when he was hanging on the cross. Remember when they had Jesus in trial, making all kind of accusations against him? The Bible said he didn't say a word. Didn't say a word. 1 Peter 2:23, but being reviled, he reviled not again. He didn't revile against them. They reviled against him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:12, and thus being reviled, we should bless. If somebody reviles us, blesses us out, bless them. bless them, Paul said. We're supposed to pray for our enemies. It's hard. You have to swallow hard and pray for them. Amen. Amen. We're not supposed to rail back. We're supposed to be Christ-like. That's why we come to church. We're trying to learn to be Christ-like. And I'm going to tell you something. It's hard. This old flesh nature don't want to lay down. That's why you need to stay in the book and stay in the church. Be around godly people. It helps us. We're supposed to imitate Jesus. It's not easy. It's not easy. Christian life is not an easy life, church. You hear somebody say being a Christian is an easy thing, they're not being a much of a Christian. Christian life is not easy. When someone's blessing you out, see how quiet you be. But you're supposed to be. Bless them. Pray for them that despitefully use you. That's what the Bible says. You believe the Bible? You believe the Bible? Well, we're supposed to live with the Bible. It's not easy. That's the reason it's going to be determined how much we live with the Bible when you face the judgment. You're going to be judged to see how much you complied with the Bible. Reward and rejoice and be exceedingly glad, verse 12 says. If you can act like you, and I can act like I'm supposed to act, well, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You'll get a great reward in heaven if you behave yourself down here. Live like you're supposed to down here. That's what Jesus said. Talking about spiritual blessings. And if we live like that, then God's going to take care of the temporal blessings we need, the physical blessings. To those that suffer most, God imparts the highest rewards. The crown of martyrdom has been thought to be the brightest of all the rewards that the redeemed shall wear. And there's a lot of people that lost their lives for Jesus, folks. At the end of life, all those who fail to trust Jesus for salvation will have to give an account for all the blessings they received. Think about that now. The unsaved will have to give an account for all the blessings God gave to them that they never thanked him for. They just used them up for their own selfish way. Their entire life will have been a life of sin that condemns them. God's shown them love and care, and they have ignored him. The sunshine, the rain, the years of life, family, friends, career, food, needs of life. And people take it for granted. Take it for granted. So in all eyes, God knows how to bless us and make us a blessing. Just as Jesus was a blessing, so we as believers are to imitate him in this lost world, church. And at this Thanksgiving season, we should be reminded of how he has blessed us and kept us. We must learn to. It is how we are reacting to the problems of life that will determine our place and position in heaven when we go there. How we've reacted here, how we've lived here will determine our place and position in heaven. Jesus said when he comes, he's coming in Revelation 22:12, and I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. So how we live today is determining what kind of reward we'll get. The Apostle John cautions us in 2 John 1:8, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." Hey, you can lose rewards by not acting and living right. You might start out good for a while, then lose them. Got to be faithful, church. So think often this week of all the blessings God has given to you. Don't take them for granted. Remember, God does not owe us anything. We don't deserve anything. Our blessings come from God, who is loving, caring, forgiving, who wants to bless us. But when you read the Old Testament and his ancient people, when they disobeyed him, you see how harshly he dealt with them? Why? He's a holy God. And he hates sin. And he's not changed. He's the same God today. When we get away from the Lord, we drift to sin. If you get away from the Lord, you've got into sin. With sin comes misery. With sin comes chastisement. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. We move to where misery begins when we get away from God. We get to where misery's at, where peace is lost, and joy in the Lord is gone. David prayed after he had sinned so grossly, he prayed, "Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation." Get into sin. Cry out to the Lord. Recognize you've sinned. Ask the Lord to forgive and restore the joy of being saved, church. This week of Thanksgiving should remind us of the importance of our salvation, being children of God who loves to bless us with his rich blessings. May God bless. May God challenge. May God continue to help us to love him and serve him and honor him in this world of sin and sorrow. Father, thank you for the time today, the opportunity today. Speak to hearts today. Challenge hearts today. Bring conviction if there is those that's wandered away. May we all have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, to have a heart that's pure. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. And this time we give anyone opportunity to come and pray at the altar this morning. Pray for someone that you're concerned about. Pray for some need in your own life.